Let's read from Psalm 27. One thing I have asked of the Lord, and that I will seek, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord, in His presence all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty, the delightful loveliness and majestic grandeur of the Lord, and to meditate in His temple. For in the day of trouble, He will hide me in His shelter. In the secret place of His tent, He will hide me. He will lift me up on a rock. When you said, seek my face in prayer, require my presence as your greatest need, my heart said to you, your face, O Lord, I will seek on the authority of your word. How would you describe the ultimate experience of beauty in your life? What do you find beautiful in your life? I've asked a few friends and had quite a broad spectrum of beautiful things in their response. Some said nature. Others said people. Someone said my bride on the day of our wedding. The other one said that deep connection, intimate, giving of ourselves to each other is the most beautiful thing for me in life. Let's think about beauty for a moment. What is this experience of beauty? An old church father said, finding pleasure in perception. It's his definition of beauty. I might not find something useful necessary, like for instance a sound or a sunset, but it gives me pleasure. It's beautiful. And it's an image, if you find it beautiful, that will be a memory marker. It would be something that lives in you vividly, and you can recall it. Doesn't matter how long ago it happened. It stays fresh within you. Because the moment you experience real, deep beauty, you'll experience an altered state of consciousness. Your experience of time will change. 1 minute will feel like an hour, and an hour will feel like 1 minute. There's a change perceptionally and in your senses, heightened awareness. You might see colors, multicolors. The spectrum of sound would change. You know, it'd be like in a movie. You would hear something close to you at the same time, a sound from another place. It's an open, broad experience of something or somebody. And we are all drawn to it. We all know what it is. We all long for it. Now, Augustinus said, beauty on earth is a reflection of the beauty of the One. God, and as such, the Son of Man, is absolute beauty. That sea, that waterfall, that person, that experience is only an image, a reflection of something of God. Beauty and the beauty of God is everywhere. Psalm 52 says, from Zion, perfect in beauty, God shines forth. Zion was the hill in which the temple was built, and heaven is also referred to as Zion. And there God lives in absolute beauty, but He shines forth. He makes His beauty known, and we can see it. We can see it because He has shown us in creation the general revelation of God. Not only like an artist's painting do you find out something about the artist, there's something of him in creation because he's actively involved in creation, in sustaining creation. And everything, the stars, the planets, and the planet that we are living on, the only planet that we know that have the kind of life that we have on this planet, because we're not far from the big star, the sun, that gives us the energy, the light that we need to live from. And it's a miracle. And in everything, from sand, rocks, to the trees, to insects, animals, humans, we are all part of the creation of God. And perhaps so we are part of the creation of God, humans, that became self-conscious. But we are part of creation. We can't live without the rest of creation. We can't eat the sun, everything. We are totally dependent. And there's something very beautiful about everything. Annette Bering writes a small poem and she says, "Earth is crammed with heaven. Every bush, a flame, a fire of God. Those who see it take off their shoes. The others sat around and plucked blackberries. They're just going with their normal work." So can you see it? Can you sense it? Have you seen it? Not everybody sees it. But our place is filled with beauty. Yes, there's a lot of ugliness. And David says in the day of evil, so there's evil as well. Things went wrong, but he did not take the beauty away. It scarred it, took a lot of it away, but there's still beauty. And David says, I don't escape into beauty and just surround myself with beautiful things. I don't want anything to do with this ugly world. He says, no, in this ugly world where there's a lot of evil, yes, I withdraw and get in touch with beauty because my soul needs it. Something happens to me if I withdraw. And I get rejuvenated. Now, he said, yeah, it feels like God shelters me. It feels as if God hides me away. And he put my feet on a rock. I found steadiness again. Now, I wonder what you do when you're tired, when you're overwhelmed. Where do you go to? What do you do? Don't we reach out to beauty? I want to read a poem. I just want to get away a bit and get in touch with nature, perhaps. See a nice movie, an art film or something. I want to get in touch with beauty again. Now, ugliness is the far enemy of beauty. But there's another danger, an enemy of beauty, a near enemy. It is something that masquerade as beauty. And that is beauty that is disconnected from God. It is when we make beauty in itself something wonderful. I mean, it might be a way that we can look at how things went wrong in this world. In Genesis, the story are told of how Adam and Eve was birthed. Put in a wonderful, beautiful garden, the Garden of Eden called Paradise. They were beautiful. They couldn't find anything wrong with themselves or with each other. And they were naked and not ashamed. And there was wonderful fruit, beautiful to look at. Trees desirable to look at in the Garden of Eden. And they had a visitor one day. Beauty. But it wasn't real beauty. It was the devil. And he was an angel, originally in heaven with God. And there he looked at himself and he thought by himself, I'm the most beautiful that I've ever seen. And there's more. And I want to disconnect from God. I want to, Isaiah 14, be equal to God. I want to be like God. And he thought that there's more and I want to get it by myself. And this was the myth that he sold to Eve. You are missing something. Everything, the beauty that you have is not enough. And listen here, you can have it in yourself by yourself and get it for yourself. And it is better that way. And that's the myth that she bought in. And you know, and we all know the terrible effect of that decision. Pain. Suddenly, for the first time, there's a separation between her and her mate, Adam. And a separation with nature and with themselves. And up to today, perhaps this is a big myth that we're living with. That beauty in itself is something very special. We ascribe value to all things beautiful, to people that are beautiful. They are worth more than people that are not as beautiful. I mean, just think about the story about Leah and Rachel. Leah, the ugly sister, she couldn't get a husband because she was ugly. A dad couldn't get any labola and no payment, and he had to come up with a scheme to help her get a husband. And I wonder today, you know, where a research has shown, if people apply for a job, if you're beautiful, you've got a better chance to get the job. Look at children. They are more drawn to beautiful people than to other people. I mean, outwardly beautiful. Why? Look at all the movies. The villain is usually the ugly guy or woman. And because we ascribe value, it has a tremendous negative effect on our lives. And it's the reason for a lot of heartache and pain that we are living with. Here's my suspicion. It's a broad generalization that men tend to use their power, which is usually connected to the money that they have, to acquire beauty. Women tend to use their beauty to acquire power. And that power struggle between the sexes, the reason for a lot of pain, a lot of pain. And can you imagine if we ascribe value to the looks, to our beauty, why a lot of people don't have a good self-image. They are struggling. And beautiful people think they are ugly because they find something wrong with them. It's like Notting Hill, the movie. I don't know whether you've seen it. I don't know whether there's an age restriction to it. But Julia Roberts and Hugh Grant fall in love. And he says, you are beautiful. And she said, no, I'm not beautiful. And he said, how can you say that? And she said, look at my toes. They're so thin. And of course, it's a joke and we laugh about it. But in the movie, she's serious. Her toes are too thin. But perhaps it's a little bit of critique on the culture that we live in, that it's ridiculous. It's not, you're not valuable because you're beautiful. You're valuable because you're made by God in the image of God. And everybody has beauty in them. And then the next thing is, it's very deceptive. If we look at something beautiful, we assume that it is worth a lot and that it is the same as what it looks. Beautiful on the inside. Just listen to the advice of a wise Solomon to young guys. He says, like a gold ring in a pig's snout is a beautiful woman who shows no discretion. In Afrikaans, we've got a saying. Al dra aap 'n goue ring, is hy en bly hy nog steeds 'n lelike ding. So what is Solomon saying? He says, young guys, if you see something beautiful, a golden ring, don't just go for the ring. Take everything into account. Look at the big picture. You know, and of course, we tell it to ourselves. The older we get, the more we tell ourselves. Things aren't what they look like. Things can be totally different than what they look like. It's like Peter giving advice to woman, and he says, woman, work on your inside. Become beautiful in the inside. And that's what's important. The last thing is that beauty can be addictive. What is idolatry? Now, does it still exist today? Well, the Amplified Bible says idolatry is the deifying of self or any other created thing above God. It is when I describe godly power attributes to something that God has made. I elevate it on the level of God and even above God. So I would say, beauty will give me joy. Beauty will give me security. Beauty will give me acceptance. Beauty will give me what I long for in life. And that's why I go for beauty. That is idolatry. Those things are things that only God can give you. And of course, our idol promises, but it can't deliver. And it will make you addicted to itself. You'll just want more and more and more, and you will give everything to get it. Now, and we see it today, that people harm people that they love, the people closest to them, just to get beauty, something or somebody else that's beautiful to you, and I leave everything for that. That's the pain. That's the myth that we're living with. And we think we'll be happy then. Now in comes Jesus in a world functioning this way. And he is ultimate beauty. And he teaches beauty. He lived with a paradise consciousness. And even though the Romans occupied the country and they lost their support systems and people are losing their jobs and people are slavery, people become slaves, Jesus said, there's beauty. Look at the lilies. Look at nature. He said, look at all the beauty. A life with me is like finding a precious pearl, the most beautiful pearl that you've ever seen in life. You would be willing to sacrifice everything for that pearl if you can see that pearl. He taught them what beauty is. And on the Sermon on the Mount, he said, isn't it beautiful if somebody is totally dependent upon God? If he surrenders to God, if he's humble, if he's meek, if he lives with compassion. And if his heart is pure, that is beauty. And our story ends again in a garden, a beautiful garden with a beautiful city, the New Jerusalem, which is the bride of Christ. Beauty, beauty. We can say that salvation is the restoration of beauty again. So how can I find beauty? Four things in the life of David. First of all, he desired it. God and everything around God's beautiful. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints for the courts of the Lord. You are blessed when you've worked up a good appetite for God. So what are the things that you can do to really desire? But desire is not enough. If you desire, you've got to seek. Otherwise, it's just sentiment. Seek. What do I seek? His face. What does that mean? Say, you're in a meeting with a few thousand people and Jesus is there. You're in His presence. You're with Him in this place. But there's no contact. There's no connection until He turns His face towards you and you look at Him face to face. And what you'll see, if you see Him, is His attributes, is His wonderful goodness, His love, His patience, His truth. Everything about Him is beautiful. And you'll see that, David says, in the temple. So where's the temple of God? We are the temple. Individually, but corporately, as followers of Christ, we are the temple. He lives in us. In your heart, in your insight, there's a holy place. There's a place where God lives. And you can go to that place. And Hebrews 10, 11, 19 says that we've got to be bold and we've got to step into that place where God is. You can experience God. You'll see God. And you can meditate upon Him. Now, practically, how does it happen? Well, St. Victor of Hugo said three books. The general revelation of God, the book of nature. Special revelation of God through Jesus Christ, the book of Scripture. And then this personal revelation of God, the book of your experience. When you gaze, and we've got to learn to look. And gazing is cleaning the glasses so that I can see, so that things can become clear to me. And then I think about it. I meditate upon it. Chesterton says that we should look at things familiar until they become unfamiliar again for us. And that's first of all, we've got to see it. And when we see it, we've got to fill ourselves with it. Paul says, discover the beauty in everyone. Wherever you go, everyone has beauty in them. Have you discovered the beauty in yourself? Zephaniah, the prophet, said that God dances and He spins around and He leaps into the air over you. Have you found the reason why God is filled with joy when He looked at you? Are you brought up with the idea that God frowns and God just sees bad things? Have you seen the beauty in yourself? Fill your mind with beautiful things. Philippians 4:8. Discern. Is this the angel of light? It's just a reflection. Is this real beauty? Is this a near enemy of beauty that I have? That's our invitation. Fill your life with beauty. Fill your life with God all around you, wherever you go. Beautify everything. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for the life that You've given us. And thank You for opening up our eyes and just see something of the beauty in You and around us and in each other. Open our eyes is our prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen. Invest is our fund for ministry in the congregation, and we give you feedback a few times during the year just to keep you updated on what's happening. At the beginning of the year, we had three big goals. First one was to keep the English ministry going, and then to keep on going with the feeding scheme. And the other one was IPEL, in person and online, to develop the new future that we foresee. Now, thanks to you buying, we could keep the English ministry going, and we've got a lot of plans for the future. And then something wonderful happened with our feeding scheme. We started with a new concept, food courts. And it's incredible to see our plan is to have a food court at every kitchen that we have. So we moved away from soup kitchen to a food court. And a food court, you've got a seat, you've got a table, and the children eat together. And what we've discovered is that for a lot of those children, it's the only time that they would sit at the table to eat with other people. And we know that food is much more than filling up your stomach. It's much more than something physical. It's something psychological. It's something social. And there they can sit, eat their food, have a lot of fun, and enjoy their meal with others. And then on iPal and online especially, there was a lot of growth and a lot of things happening. And we'd like to show you just a little short video to give you a glimpse and a feel of what happened in the past few months.
Ons kom van George af. Bly daar, ons nou so 1.5 jaar in George. Het in Oudtshoorn voor geblei. So net na COVID het ons nou George toe getrek en toe het ons nou in die routine gewees van kyk kerk op TV. Tydens COVID was vir ons baie belangrik. Die kerk was vir die tyd toe. So daar was 'n leemte gewees vir 'n ruk. En Mosaic het vir ons daai leemte gevul. En het was ons baie lekker. Ons het regtig baie geniet om Sondag. Want ons kyk maar meestal Sondag, weet baie ons neem hom op en dan kyk hom later in die week, maar vir ons is Sondag 'n Sondag. En dan wil ons die kerk ervaar. En ek dink dit is baie goeie preke. Dit is regtig goeie onderwerpe wat hulle aanraak en dit voed ons vir die week en ek dink in ons lewensreis is dit relevante onderwerpe wat ons hoor en dis vir ons goed.
Ek is op 'n baie koue dag hier so by 'n skool waar ons besig is om kos te gee. Dit is een van die skole wat ons voedingspunte by is. Ons het 20 kombuise wat opgerig is hiervoor. Dit is alles moontlik gemaak deur die donasies, die skenkings wat ons ontvang het en ons is so dankbaar daarvoor. En breek 'n mens se hart as jy dink, daar is een uit elke 4 kinders wat gaan honger slaap in die aand. Van die skool het ons besluit om Vrydag laaste ding kos te gee. Maandag as die skool begin, eerste ding kos te gee omdat dit die enigste voedsame ete is wat baie van hierdie kinders kry. So baie dankie aan almal wat deel is hiervan. For more information regarding Invest, please visit our website. There's now an opportunity to make a financial contribution. The QR codes are on the screen, and if you're watching from your smartphone, follow the link in the chat function, which will take you to our website. There you'll find several ways to give. Friends, let's ask God, in what way can we take hands and give to make this dream possible and help other people? Keep an eye on our social media for upcoming events in our faith community. I want to bless you with the blessing of number 6. God bless you and He keep you. God smile on you and gift you. God look you full in the face and make you prosper. Amen.